This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
After years of fighting over how it will be done, redistricting of Pennsylvania's congressional and legislative district lines is now underway. Lawmakers have promised a transparent and inclusive process. Here to explain how that will work is Chris Nicholas. Chris is a veteran political consultant with Eagle Consulting. Chris, we've now begun the process of redistricting both at the congressional and also at the state legislative level. Tell us a bit about timing, about the schedule, and where are we in the process?
Sure, Loman. Your listeners may not know this, but everybody in Pennsylvania lives in at least three districts. They live in a state house district, they live in a state senate district, and they live in a congressional district. So what happens, that's one of the reasons we take the census as a country and have since the late 18th century, is to know how many of us there are and who we are. So in a normal year, the census occurs on the first day of April in the year ending with zero. So I always get a kick out of telling people that census day is April Fool's Day, okay? And then what happens is at the end of the year ending in zero, 2010, 2020, or the very beginning of the year starting with 1, 2021, the Census Bureau, a division of the government, Commerce Department, gives to all the states the detailed analysis and counts. So the states can then draw their congressional districts and their state legislative districts. So because of COVID, like many other things, the census was shut down for a while. So instead of getting the results from the census at the beginning of the year ending in one, states right now will not get the preliminary information until August 16th, so right about the time people are hearing this interview. So they're obviously 8 months behind. So everything in Pennsylvania's elections, as in other states, bases off how many weeks you are from the primary. So the start of petition season in Pennsylvania, everybody at every level has to get petitions signed by members of their party to get on the ballot. And then that lasts 3 weeks. There's a whole schedule. And so you can't start that until people know what district they live in. So candidates can't say, geez, I want to try and run for state senate, because at the moment they can't say what state senate district they're in. So the legislature, who is just getting these numbers, like I said, August 16th, as we tape this, are going to have to do a rush job on putting the districts together, because it's really by mid-January the districts have to be put together so people can say, oh, I want to run for Congress, I want to run for state house, because then they know what district they live in. So for example, 10 years ago I didn't move, but I was put into a new state house district and a new state senate district, and that's just how the world works. So what will happen now is the legislature getting this will go into negotiations and start doing this. So first we're going to talk about the congressional redistricting. And what happens is the federal government, after the census is done, reapportions congressional districts across the country. According to the Constitution, every state gets at least one. And we have a couple very small states, Vermont, Wyoming, the Dakotas, who only have one. And then as your population goes up, you get a second. So Pennsylvania's population is growing very slowly, Loman, but growing slower than the national average. Basically, states in the South and the West are far outpacing us in population growth. And I know you've talked about that on this show many times with other guests. So what that means is instead of having 18 congressional districts, we're only going to have 17. Because Pennsylvania's share of the national population has dropped. And just to give you some perspective on that, in 1900, when that census was done, Pennsylvania had 36 congressional districts. So over the 100 years, we've now less than half that. So what the state legislature will do in congressional redistricting is they have to draw up a bill, Loman, like any other bill, a bill to raise taxes, a bill to lower taxes, a bill to pass the budget. This bill to redo the congressional districts has to be passed in the state house, has to be passed in the state senate, has to be signed by the governor. Pretty basic. For the first time in modern history since the Pennsylvania Constitutional Convention in the late 60s, the three levers there of government are not controlled by the same party. Every other time we had a state House and state Senate controlled by Democrats and the governor controlled by Democrats or Republicans. In this case, you have the two legislative chambers controlled by Republicans, but Democratic Governor Tom Wolf. So there's going to be even more of an interest in this year's because you have two sides that often can't agree on what day it is. We'll have to figure out where everybody lives. And the way these bills are written, Loman, is it literally says the first congressional district of Pennsylvania shall be comprised of. And then it lists counties and towns or townships or boroughs or cities. And that's how you do it. So every little part of Pennsylvania is put into that. So if you have an expanding pie, that's easier for politicians to divvy up. But this year we have a contracting pie. So one member of Congress is going to be, at least one, is going to be put into the same district as someone else. It could be someone else in their same party. It could be someone else in an opposing party. But the Pennsylvania congressional pizza pie is going from 18 slices to 17.
Does the decision by Congressman Connor Lamb a week or so ago to run, he announced he's running for the United States Senate, does that sort of put a bullseye on that district? Also considering Western Pennsylvania has been where the population losses occurred, does it put a bullseye on that as a possible elimination?
So the 17th district is basically Beaver and Lawrence counties and then a large chunk of suburban Allegheny County. And Connor Lamb won a very closely contested special election there a couple years ago, and it's one of the few districts in the country where you have a president of one party, in this case Trump, carry the district, but it's represented by a member of Congress from another party. So that district had bullseyes on it, Loman, before this decision. Personally, I think the district that moves should come out of eastern Pennsylvania, but you're right, with now someone giving up a seat, it may do that. My line of reasoning is that congressional reapportionment west of Harrisburg doesn't really matter because as long as Pittsburgh, that city of basically 300,000 people, as long as that's all in the same congressional district, which is how it is, everything else out there is going to be Republican.
Right.
And I think Connor Lamb is a very gifted politician. He's gifted. We've run weak candidates there, although the most recent one, Sean Parnell, was pretty strong. So I think if Connor Lamb does indeed run for Senate, which he announced, and that district is now an open seat, I think the Republicans will win that. So I think countervailing to your theory of we'll take that seat away is Republicans saying now that it's an open seat and Connor Lamb isn't there, it's basically going to default to the GOP. So those two things could come into play like that.
In addition, as we referenced at the beginning of our talk here, Chris, there's also legislative redistricting. This is done very differently, is it not?
It is. So Pennsylvania does not gain or lose state House or state Senate seats depending on population, but they do get moved around. So basically, this may not surprise many people, but eastern Pennsylvania is growing. Western Pennsylvania is declining in population. Eastern Pennsylvania, the triangle between the Lehigh Valley, which is the Allentown area, central Pennsylvania, where we are today in suburban Harrisburg, and the Philadelphia suburbs. That triangle is where the bulk of the growth is and occasionally up in the Poconos. So what happens on legislative reapportionment is you take a House or Senate district from a place that's lost population and you have to repatriate it someplace where there is a greater population. So the districts are relatively equal in how many citizens they represent. So imagine how tough it is on the congressional level to cut the state into 17 slices. The legislative level, they have to cut it into 50 slices for the Senate, 203 slices for the state House. So the way that works is the legislative leader of each caucus, so the House Republican leader, the House Democratic leader, the Senate Democratic leader, the Senate House leader, they get together and then a fifth member is chosen by them, but they can never do that. So then it goes to the Supreme Court. And 10 years ago, it was a semi-retired Republican member of the Superior Court was the fifth member. Now it's a gentleman from Pitt Law School who was the fifth member. So what normally happens that way, Loman, is they get together, they get the census numbers, and then the Senate Democratic leader and the Senate Republican leader go into a room. The House Republican leader and the House Democratic leader go into a room and they kind of figure out their districts. So the House leaders don't really care what's happening on the Senate level. They'll get an update and vice versa. And then they come back and they show their plans to the fifth member. And then there's a vote. The vote can be anywhere from 5-0 to 3-2, whatever. So back in 2011, this commission did that. The districts were approved 4-1. It went to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And the Republican Chief Justice there blew up the district, said he didn't like them. So we're the only state in the country that didn't have new state legislative districts in the year ending in 2. So again, census in the year ending in 0, the process to redistrict in the year ending in 1, new districts the year ending in 2. So we're the only state in the country that we held over one more cycle the old districts and then didn't get new districts until 2014. So they went back together, redid the districts. The vote was again 4-1, but the Supreme Court genuflected over those districts, and there we are. So the Democrats in the House and Senate here think the reason they're in the minority in the legislature is because of the way the districts are drawn, not because of their candidates or how the campaigns have played out. So there's going to be a lot of attention on that, and I think the courts will get involved at some point because somebody's going to be disappointed.
This process now, as you've mentioned, really about to hit its stride and really get moving. There also will be an opportunity for citizen input. That, of course, a whole other topic. We have been talking with Chris Nicholas from Eagle Consulting. He's a veteran political consultant here in Pennsylvania, an expert on all these redistricting nuances. Chris, tell us where folks can go to learn more about Eagle Consulting.
Our website for Eagle Consulting Group Lohman is simply eagleconsult.com. If folks out there are on Twitter, our Twitter handle is @Eagle63.
Chris Nicholas, thank you for being with us.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.